Hi, I'm Alex Bice, Assistant Managing Editor of Cure.
And I'm Brielle Bennion, also Assistant Managing Editor.
And the last week has been a quite busy one for us here at Cure and across the oncology space in general, because there were two major meetings that we covered, the San Antonio Breast Cancer Symposium and the American Society of Hematology annual meeting. Now, Brielle, for anyone out there who is listening and might not be aware, tell us a bit about SABCS, please.
So the San Antonio Breast Cancer Symposium, which is also known as SABCS, is a huge breast cancer conference. It features breast cancer research that was conducted around the globe. So we have the brightest minds, researchers, clinicians, patient advocates all come over to San Antonio or cover or attend virtually. So we had editors on the ground in San Antonio, as well as back in our office in New Jersey covering the meeting. So we have a bunch of highlights from SABCS.
Absolutely. And to kick things off, Kadcyla is the first therapy to show improved survival in a breast cancer subset. Now, for patients with HER2-positive early breast cancer that still had remaining invasive disease after undergoing neoadjuvant therapy, Kadcyla outperformed Herceptin when it came to overall survival, which is the time until death of any cause, and invasive disease-free survival, which is the time patients live without experiencing metastasis or invasive disease. Now, the findings, which came out of the Catherine trial, mark as the study author, Dr. Sibel Leobel, presented the findings at SABCS, as they said, the first therapy to show an improved survival after post-surgical therapy in patients with HER2-positive early breast cancer and residual invasive disease after neoadjuvant therapy. And more specifically, at the 8.4-year follow-up mark, 70.1% of patients in the Kadcyla group and 62% of patients in the Herceptin group were still alive. And also at that point, 32.2% of the patients who were given Kadcyla did not develop invasive disease, compared with just 19.7% of patients in the Herceptin group.
Absolutely. These are absolutely interesting and exciting findings for this patient population. Next up, we heard that Keytruda plus chemotherapy led to early stage breast cancer event-free survival benefits. So this is coming from findings from the phase 3 KEYNOTE-522 trial that showed that pre-surgical Keytruda plus chemotherapy followed by post-surgical Keytruda led to improved event-free survival. So that's the time a patient lives without any complications from their disease. And this is in patients with high risk, early stage triple negative breast cancer. Now, historically, triple negative breast cancer is typically really a more aggressive subtype of breast cancer. So this is really exciting to see. At a median follow-up of 63.1 months, the five-year event-free survival rate was 81.3% with the neoadjuvant Keytruda chemo combination followed by adjuvant Keytruda, compared to 72.3% in those who received a placebo plus chemotherapy and then placebo again after surgery. These findings, according to Dr. Peter Schmid, further support the use of Keytruda regimen as the standard of care for this patient population.
And like you said, it is very exciting that these treatment options are now showing such positive results among early stages of this particularly aggressive form of breast cancer. That's really, really exciting news to come out of the conference.
Absolutely.
And next up, Tecentriq plus Perjeta, Herceptin, and chemo did not improve pathologic complete response among patients with HER2-positive breast cancer. Now, another phase 3 trial, the APT-NEO-Michelangelo, showed that adding Tecentriq and Herceptin to Perjeta and chemotherapy actually didn't lead to a statistically significant improvement in pathologic complete response, and that's the disappearance of cancer when given in the pre-surgical setting for patients with HER2-positive breast cancer. And the study found that while Tecentriq and Herceptin-containing regimens did lead to a higher number of pathologic complete responses, these differences between the two treatment groups was not statistically significant, meaning that the researchers couldn't definitely say that one therapy resulted in better outcomes. Brielle, I think this is something important for folks to keep in mind, is that there's a lot of the big news coming out is, oh, this improves this. But I think it's also important to be transparent and announce when things don't quite shake out the way you wanted them to, and update patients and overall oncology community in that regard as well.
Right. And we also have to consider, too, that this may change. We did see some abstracts at SABCS that said that early findings showed that there was a numerical increase, but not a statistically significant increase. And then as you follow longer, some of them end up being statistically significant. So that means that across a longer period of time, yes, it does show that this therapy outperforms the other this one might go that way. It might not. That's just where it is right now with the data that researchers have.
Absolutely.
And finally, we saw, again, with not really a difference between one group and another, research showed that there is no racial difference in recurrence-free survival in patients with HR-positive or HER2-negative breast cancer. So prior research showed that Black and white patients with HR-positive, HER2-negative breast cancer tend to have different survival outcomes. However, research presented at SABCS this year found that three-year recurrence-free survival is actually comparable between the two groups. So data does show that, unfortunately, Black patients do have a higher mortality rate. They tend to die earlier. But here it's showing that the recurrence rates are happening at about the same time. And a quote from the poster presentation presented at SABCS said, more aggressive treatment options can improve outcomes for patients with HR-positive basal type tumors as demonstrated by improved overall survival in those who achieve pathologic complete response. These data highlight the importance of genomic testing to help optimize treatment and reduce outcome disparities in Black women.
Those are just some of the big findings out of SABCS this year. But be sure to head over to curetoday.com to find all of the reporting that our team on the ground and reporting virtually has been doing out of SABCS. And Brielle, this is not the only time this week folks are going to be hearing from us.
No, you're going to get another dose of Brielle and Alex. So tune in later this week for our recap on ASH. That's the American Society of Hematology annual meeting. So we're still covering that meeting as we're recording this podcast, and we'll have our conference highlights up to you this week as well.
All right. I think Brielle and I are both going to go back to covering ASH, but we will talk to you all very soon. Don't forget, subscribe to the Cancer Horizons podcast or visit curetoday.com/podcasts. The Cancer Horizons podcast is the official podcast of Cure Magazine, the indispensable guide to every stage of the cancer experience. Find us on Facebook and Instagram at Cure Today and on X at Cure_Today. And be sure to sign up for Cure's e-newsletter for the latest in cancer updates, research, and educational opportunities.